You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Molly Ringwald became known at first for her work with director John Hughes in the seminal teen films of the 1980s, Pretty in Pink, The Breakfast Club, and 16 Candles. Since then, she starred on a television series, recorded a jazz album, and now she's written her first novel. When It Happens to You is a collection of interwoven short stories focusing on betrayal, relationships, and family dynamics in Los Angeles. It's published by It Books, and I'm very pleased that it brings Molly Ringwald back to our show. Hello.
Hello.
I left out that you also wrote a memoir.
That's right.
So the writing, is that something that you always have been doing, or did it start happening during the long breaks between movie takes?
It actually has been something that I've been doing since I was a kid. I've always been interested by writing. I think, once I became famous as an actress, I thought I wasn't probably ever going to publish it, but it was something that I continued to do in between. And I do write sometimes on film sets. I pretty much write.
It can get pretty boring, right?
Well, yeah. If anybody has ever been on a film set, there's a lot of hurry up and wait. So I've tried to use those opportunities to write.
A number of other actors who have also written have talked to me about how they see it, the two professions as being a lot more similar than you might imagine. They're often creating backstories for their characters, for example. Mm-hmm. They're inventing in a way that you have to as a writer.
Absolutely. Yeah, I just wrote a piece for the New York Times draft section on that exact subject. It is something that I've always done. I've always been interested by character, and I've always tried to figure out, sounds cliche, but I've tried to figure out the motivation for each character, and part of that was figuring out their background and their history.
So when you're writing a character, are you also thinking in terms of, do you wind up getting involved in the character the way actors might if they've been through the method?
Oh, entirely. Completely. It's one of the things that I think I enjoy most about writing is that I get to play all the characters, instead of being tied to my gender or my age, I get to just play everything. And my book is obviously very character-based.
Well, we're calling it a novel, it's called a novel on the cover, but it's really four interconnected stories.
Eight,
I'm sorry. Did you write them as short stories, or did you know that you were going to make them all interconnected from the start?
I did know that they were going to be connected. I thought that the stories would actually be shorter and that the connections would be more random. But as soon as I wrote the very first story, I realized that the connections had to be more profound. And that's really sort of when it turned more into a novel.
Although you don't spell everything out in these stories, you let the readers come to their own conclusions.
Yeah.
So that was obviously a stylistic decision that you made.
Yeah, well, one of the writers that I've admired a lot, I think he was the first person who really made me fall in love with the short story form, was Raymond Carver. And I used to marvel at how he was able to elicit this very strong reaction from me with so little, with very carefully chosen words. And, I've always admired his economy of language. And so it's something that I think, although my writing's very different from his, I did try to a lot of the action takes place in between the stories. And I don't spell everything out.
At the center of them are Philip and Greta and their 6-year-old daughter, Charlotte. And there's a major betrayal in that marriage.
Yes.
Did you choose to set the stories in Los Angeles out of familiarity, or does L.A. just lend itself to stories of adultery and deceit?
No, I think adultery and deceit can happen anywhere in the world.
Well, you get that sense of reading the gossip columns.
Yeah. But, even though I'm an actress, these stories really don't have anything to do with Hollywood or the industry that I'm in. There's only one character who is an actor, and he actually comes from New York. But I think I just chose to set it there because it was all around me and I was so focused on character. I thought it would just be easier in a way just to write about the environment where I was at.
And you've said in the past that you write from experience. I'm assuming these aren't totally autobiographical stories.
No, I write memoir from experience, not fiction. You know, I think my fiction is compiled for all different things. You know, a little bit of experience, a lot of observation, and a lot of imagination.
Well, where did the story My Olivia come from? It's about a six-year-old boy who's convinced he's a girl.
That story actually came about because I was... My daughter was going to preschool, and there was a boy there who I was pretty sure was transgendered. And then
that early in preschool.
Oh yeah, absolutely. He was a little bit older. I think she was about four, and he was five or six. He was really on the. He was actually shouldn't even have been in this school. I think his mom was just keeping him there because it was kind of a safe environment. And I was watching how the mother was dealing with it. And then she went to a different school, my daughter, and there was another boy. And his mother dealt with it completely differently. And I didn't judge either one of them at all. And I just tried to think to myself how I would deal with that situation.
Well, in this story, the boy's mother, Marina, is grappling with letting him be himself and protecting him from a harsh world. Some other parents might very well try to push the kid into being more... so-called normal.
Yeah, she's completely liberal, and she's his biggest advocate. You know, she's a single mom. She comes from a pretty conservative family, but she chooses to let him be himself. But then there's a point in the story where she begins to doubt whether or not she's made the right decision. So that story, if we're going along the theme of betrayal, that story is really about a betrayal of mother to her son.
But... did you know from the start that it was something you wanted to put in this book, which you're calling a novel?
Well, I knew that I wanted...
Oh, did you write it as a standalone story?
Every story in the collection is actually a standalone story, but I think that they really work together as a novel. They resonate together. I mean, I would prefer if people would read it from start to finish in the order that the stories are written, but you never know how people are going to read things, you know, so each story is really a standalone story. But this woman, Marina, in the story is actually called My Olivia. She ends up connecting to the main couple. Olivia, the little boy, actually is the schoolmate of the couple's young daughter, Charlotte. So that's kind of how they connect.
My guest is Molly Ringwald. Her latest project is a novel called When It Happens to You. Did you learn about telling stories from working with someone like Don Hughes, who was a master storyteller?
I think I've learned from a lot of different people. Mostly, I would say I learned about writing fiction from reading a lot of great fiction. But John was certainly incredibly supportive of me. He was always telling me that I had to write and direct. I think when he said write, he was thinking more in terms of screenplays, and I think I have to get to that one day. But it was really, I think, great fiction writers who taught me how to write.
What about direct?
That's coming.
It is.
I would actually like to adapt When It Happens to You into a film, possibly. So, and if I do that, I would write and direct that.
The first book, as I said earlier, Getting the Pretty Back, was a memoir. Did you find the process fairly similar?
I found the writing process similar, although it was a little bit more challenging this time around because of having one kid. I had three kids. And the more children that you have, the more challenging writing becomes. And I also found, strangely enough, most people don't say this, but I found writing nonfiction more difficult than writing fiction. I don't know why exactly. But.
Well, perhaps one of the reasons is that you're trying to remain fairly close to the truth at the same time.
Yes.
You're trying to craft something, and you also can't say everything. In fiction, you can
say whatever you want. Exactly. I found it very freeing, and I found it actually a lot closer to the training that I've had over the years as an actor.
Have you felt constrained as an actor because you've done so many different things? I mentioned earlier that you've also recorded a jazz vocal album.
That's right. And that's going to be released in February by Concord Records,
which is a major jazz label.
Yes.
Have you always been interested in jazz?
Yeah. My father is a jazz musician. He's a more of a traditional jazz musician, and I'm a little bit more American songbook. But it's something that it was the first thing that I did. I I was singing with him when I was 3.5 years old at the California State Fair. I thought that I was going to grow up and be a black jazz singer. Honestly, I really thought that I was going to grow up and that, you know, I was going to turn into Bessie Smith. It didn't quite happen that way.
Well, okay. is singing a lyric at all like delivering a line as an actress?
I think so. I mean,
there's some singers who are very musical, but you don't really get it. Ella Fitzgerald, for example, mm-hmm. one of the greatest singers that ever lived. But the lyric doesn't seem to be as important to her as it is to Billie Holiday.
Exactly. I feel like the lyrics are more important to me. And they always have been. And I was very careful about the songs that I chose in terms of, you know, I think I really do approach the music more as an actor. You know, I'm telling a story and I want that poetry in there.
Elizabeth Olsen was here the other day and she told me that she was glad that she didn't get a part she auditioned for when she was 10. And as a result, she was spared the child actress thing. When did you get into acting? How old were you?
My first part, I think it was around the same time that I was singing jazz. It was just another thing that we did, another extracurricular activity. I was 3.5, and I was in The Grass Harp by Truman Capote. Mm. I played one of Baby Love's illegitimate children. My brother and I both stumbled on stage, and that was it. That was it for me. And I think ever since then, I was always very interested by acting and singing, anything having to do with, you know, performing.
Would you encourage your kids to go into acting?
Oh, God, no.
Why?
Because it's a really hard business. There's a lot of rejection, and I think it's dangerous, and there are not that many survivors, you know, and I think I was lucky, you know. So if they want to do it when they're older, after they graduate Stanford University, then I think I'll do everything.
Oh yeah. How old are they?
My eldest is almost 9, and I have 3-year-old twins. I think honestly that if you have an education, you're a better actor. You're more interesting anyway, mm-hmm. And you have a better chance of being a healthy human being.
Well, I've always wondered about that reputation that actors had, the bad reputation. Hitchcock and others talked about actors that way. We've had a lot of actors on this show, and I would say all but one or two have turned out to be incredibly intelligent and thoughtful. And
who were the dumb ones?
I'm not mentioning
come
names.
Come on.
When we go off the air, I'll name a couple. But they were the exceptions to the rule.
Yeah.
And I suspect that that's been your experience as well, working with people.
I've worked with amazing people. You know, there's always one or two people that I've stayed in contact with, you know, from each film or each play. And there are a lot of intelligent actors out there. I think it's a little bit of a cliche.
So why do you think there is that cliche, that stereotype?
I don't know. I mean, maybe there's a lot of dumb actors, too. I don't, you know, like any
business.
They just
don't come on the show.
Right, exactly.
So where do you go from here? You're still acting.
Mm-hmm.
You're also writing. Are you going to write another novel?
That's what I'm thinking about right now. It's between adapting When It Happens to You and writing the new novel. And there's going to arm wrestle together, and we'll figure out who wins.
And then directing a film.
And then directing, yes.
Uh-huh. And then what, run for president?
It's been suggested.
Molly Ringwald, her latest project is a novel, In Stories. It's called When It Happens to You. It is published by It Books. Thank you so much for being with us again.
Thank you for having me.